Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for being here tonight. We have two board members who are on their way, but I believe we can begin. Is Deborah here? We have three missing. So we have enough to begin. Would you all please stand for the pledge to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you.
Can I have a motion for the approval of the minutes, please?
So moved.
Tony Falco, can I have a second? Fred Tenneri, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. The next part I'm going to turn over to the superintendent. It's recognition of achievements. Dr. Murphy?
And I, in turn, will turn it over to Mr. Singer. And Mr. Singer is going to do some recognitions tonight. And we have facilities maintenance staff who we will start off with tonight. Bruce?
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Tonight I'd like the Board of Education to acknowledge the staff at facilities who have created, constructed, and assisted in the move of the Office of Student Personnel, Student Services into Samoset Middle School. As everyone knows, moving is a stressful time in lives, and the fine ladies and gentlemen of the facilities, maintenance, grounds crews, has helped ease the process due to the outstanding dedication, the hard work, and skill level which has produced a beautiful offices for the school and the community. I'd like the following people to be recognized, and we'll call out their names. I see many of them here tonight to be acknowledged by the Board of Education tonight. And then if they could come up, and we'll see who's here. Oops. Okay. Got it. Oh, no, those. Mike Bergen, well, when we come up, and then we'll take pictures I could call. Mike Bergen, if you could come up. Ed Miller, we want you to, we'll hand him out. He's right there. John Conway. Gary Asbol. Ed Barisi, John Vidal, John Bree, Vinnie Burke, Sean Clendenin, Anthony Delgado, John DeLuca, Jim Enright, Jim Felica, Al Galena, Patrick Giambroni, Vinny Gilardi, Greg Gilbert, Don Haynes, Brian Kehoe, Pete Lippis, Frank Mazurkowitz, Gary Manini, Bob Moran, Rich Nielsen, Ron Olson, Mike Shimola, Spencer Stowell, Paul Wilkin, and Joe Zappazzotti.
7 million. The Bronx. Major League, yes. All right, these two.
Thank you. Yes. Mr. Falco, you'd like to make a comment also?
Before they all leave, I just want to personally, as a board member, say to all of you, thank you. I've seen where OSS came from, and you guys have kept that building afloat for many years, and it should have been taken down years ago. And I've certainly seen of what you've done here. And personally, I want to thank you all. You did a great job. And again, thank you from all of us.
Bruce, you're still on.
Okay. These next gentlemen are the fellows that keep the wheels on the bus go round and round. Yeah, that was a little bit of a joke. Due to the outstanding transportation services, I'd like the Board of Education to acknowledge Steve Shadbolt and Tom Wright. Steve, who's our transportation supervisor, joined Sachem in July of 2004. If you recall, that year we opened two new buildings in September 2004, and transportation had significant problems. However, Steve immediately became familiar with the schools and the routes. Last year in September 2005 was a much better beginning with transportation. Although we had minor complaints, I'm proud to report that in September 2006 was outstanding. Minimal phone calls this year, and this was as a result of Steve and Tom and their dedication. Due to the minimal complications, I'd like to thank Steve for his hard work. During the past year, Steve has consulted with the New York State Education Department and rewrote the transportation bid specifications. Steve had ensured that the bid specifications were based on the latest rules and regulations to enhance student safety. Additionally, last year we were awarded a $250,000 grant, which Steve was instrumental in securing for Sachem, which allowed the purchase of diesel converters. On a daily basis, Steve oversees a staff of 243 bus drivers, contracted and district employees. There's bus, van drivers, clerical staff, mechanics, and custodial staff. Steve also serves on the Suffolk County Traffic Safety Board and has been working diligently the reconstruction of Portion Road. Additionally, Steve is vice president of Suffolk County Association of Transportation Supervisors. He's a school bus driving instructor and a 19A examiner. I would like to congratulate Steve on a job well done and thank his wife Joan and children Brian and Courtney for understanding, for allowing Steve to work countless winter nights and his commitment to the school district. Come on up, Steve. Tom Wright. I got it here.
Right there. Let me hold that. Tom's a class.
What? Oh, okay. Tom Wright, actually, who's still in class, he's taking a transportation class. He'll join us hopefully in a few minutes, but we'll read it anyway in his absence. Tom Wright is our transportation assistant supervisor. He's been in Sachem schools since October 2002. These 4 years, he's been instrumental in many aspects of improving not only the efficiency of routes, but timely customer service, community service, and commitment to our drivers and to the community to ensure that transportation runs properly and smoothly. He's currently attending classes to attain his 19A examiner certification. Tom serves as our daily dispatcher for in-district drivers and coordinates all the routing. On a personal note, I'd like to thank Tom and his wife, Phyllis, for very busy parents of little Jessica, who's 3, and newly walking Johnny, who recently turned 1. In his spare time, Tom enjoys walking as an avid reader. I'd like to thank Tom Wright and Steve Shadbolt.
Steve, thank you. This was a great opening, and Steve was a big part of that, as was everyone in this room. Well, our entire staff, right down the line, everybody did a great job to getting these buildings open. Do we have any others? That's it. Thank you. That's the best part of the night all the time. I'm going to have Bob LaCourte speak. Bob has a lot of folks here from the SCTA. And Bob, please step up.
Good evening, Mr. McMahon, Mr. Boddy, members of the Board of Education and Administration. Back on June 8th of this year, I came before you at a Board of Education meeting to present to you my concerns with regards to the status of negotiations for the teacher assistants, interpreters, and teaching aid bargaining groups. Tonight, I'm here again with many of those same concerns. I'm also joined here by many of my SCTA colleagues who are part of these two bargaining groups, who have also grown concerned by what has been happening. Back in June, I indicated that both groups had been without a contract and that impasse had been declared for both of these groups. Since that time, the teacher assistants interpreters negotiations have seen absolutely no progress, while the teaching aides saw some progress over the summer, only to see that process negated by the Board of Education's rejections of the mediator's proposal. I'm aware of a counterproposal that the Board of Education has made, but I'm also very concerned about the amount of time it has taken us to receive that proposal. Back in June, I indicated that your negotiating teams needed to be given clear direction and authority by you to have serious discussions towards the settlement of these contracts. At that time, I also mentioned that we shouldn't have to begin the 2006-2007 school year without a contract in place for these two groups. Unfortunately, we have not reached a settlement, and you can see the concern in the faces of those individuals who are here this evening. These individuals have accepted their responsibilities as employees in the district and have continued to go above and beyond those responsibilities to ensure the children of this district the best possible education our students deserve. However, they are becoming more and more frustrated by the protracted negotiations, and they believe they do not have the respect of the Board of Education. Over 90% of these individuals are residents and taxpayers of this community. They are part of the fabric of this district. They are there to help our kindergarten teachers ensure that their students get off to a successful start in school, and they continue that help throughout the school year. They are there on a daily basis to help our special education students achieve at the highest level they can. They are part of the PTAs, the athletic booster clubs. Their own children go to our schools. They have also been there to help the district pass the school budget. Now, they need to see a resolution to the contract negotiations. During the budget process last spring, the community was told that there was funding set aside in the budget to settle the contractual obligations it has. I said it back then, and I'll say it again. It's time to move forward and settle the contractual obligations the district has. We need to focus our energies on providing the best education our students deserve in a workplace which is not compromised by labor unrest. We, you, the board, the administration, the staff, they already have so many obligations in front of them. It's time to guarantee the success of our students. We don't need to have our energies compromised by these ongoing negotiations. Thank you for providing me with an opportunity to speak with you here this evening.
Thank you, Bob. Folks, I'll give you a couple of minutes if you'd like to leave. You're welcome to stay for the meeting. We have a lot to get done tonight. There's some interesting discussions. You're more than welcome to stay. If you feel that you want to leave, I know all of you have to work tomorrow, please, feel free to go at any time. Okay, business items. bid awards. Let me give you a few minutes to leave, and then we'll start with this.
Mike or Charlie?
That's the only visitor we have. Yeah. Oh, Tom is here. Where's Tom Wright?
Oh.
Okay. Let these people go. We'll let them come up. Tom Wright. Tom, would you come up a minute, please? Tom, you missed it right up here. This way, please. How are you? Thank you very much.
Great job, Tom.
Tom, we said a lot of nice things about you. You weren't here, so you're going to have to take our word for it. Tom, thank you for all your hard work. We really appreciate it. I think you bought it. Thanks, Tom, and thank you, Steve, also. For the business items, we have bid awards with the exception of letter N, the underwriters for funding general obligations debt. That has to wait till the next meeting. So we're going for bid awards letters A through M. Letters A through M. Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Who is that, John?
Yes.
Thank you, John. Second? Douglas, thank you, Douglas. Any questions or discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Thank you. On to personnel items. This starts on page 3. It's a consent agenda, so it's items 1A through 6A, and it's from page 3, and we'll end up on page 14. Can I have a motion, please? Who is that? Rob, thank you, Rob.
Second.
Second. John, any discussions? All in favor? Opposed? Thank you. 4A, Ron Sachs got tenure. Oh, and for 4A, Ron Sachs got tenure. Where is Ronnie? We're going to think about that, Ron. Wait a minute. No, thanks, Ron. Ron's been with us, and he has done an incredible job. He's been a tremendous help to everyone. And, Ronnie, we really appreciate it. Thank you, and congratulations to you.
What's that?
Oh, he's also known as Fred Teneri, if you look at the yearbook. I think he was the one that made the motion for the tenure. Was that you, Ronnie? If you saw the yearbook, you'll understand this. Action items. Carol, you want to read these? I know you love to do this, so why don't you jump right in here and we'll...
Okay. Approval of the recommendations from the Committee on Special Education, please.
Can I have a motion? David, second. Who was that? Deborah. Your voice, I'm not used to hearing it. All in favor? Opposed? Thank you. We're on page 15, everyone. Item 2. Oh, this is for Deborah, you had a recommendation for this position, right? Who was it? Fred Langstaff. Do any of the other board members have any recommendations for this position? Put on your microphone.
So I've gotten some documentation from Judith Chin. I don't know if we'd want to talk about choosing her.
I've heard from Fred Langstaff had called me and asked for our support. I also did get some information from Judith Chin. Whatever's your pleasure, folks. Does anyone else have an opinion on any of these?
So my only thing would be that Fred is further out east, okay, and I think that he's in Sayville, but he's a board member for Eastern Suffolk Post. may serve our district and serve this particular area better than Western Suffolk.
So, Fred,
I mean, I think I like Fred. Yeah, Fred.
Yeah. I would be fine with Fred. Is everybody okay with that? Can you all live with that? That's it. We need a motion for that, right?
Yeah.
Can we have a motion for Fred, please? David, second. Deborah, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Approval of the 2007-2008 budget development calendar as presented.
Can I have a motion, please? John Siegel, second. Douglas Duncan, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Approval of 2006-2007 extracurricular clubs and activities.
All in favor? Oh, we need a motion first, huh? Let's not jump the gun, guys, all right? David, is that you? So moved? Okay, that's the motion. Can I have a second, please? Fred Teneri or Ron Sachs, either one. And thank you, Fred. All in favor? Opposed? I should let me just interject something here. We had a young man who and a young lady who came here from Sachem East, and they really want to get in. They want to start the robotics club. The superintendent and John Alexak had said to these folks that we would provide the staff members for the club, and they were going to seek out sponsorship, and they already had some sponsors lined up from the past. So if they can make that happen, you know, that will be something that will be we'll pick up on the next at the next meeting. So hopefully that'll get off the ground.
Approval of coaching assignments for the 2006-2007 school year.
Can I have a motion, please? Who is that? Rob, thank you. Second? Is that you? Deborah? All in favor? Opposed? Thank you.
Approval of a donation from SIAG for Sachem High School North and East.
Who is that? David? Can I have a second, please? John Siegel, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? SIAG has been doing this throughout, you know, as long as I can remember, has always been given back to the school district, and we thank them. Tony, please convey our thanks to the folks at SIAG.
Approval of donation from Office Depot for backpacks.
Can I have a motion, please? Rob, thank you. Second, David, all in favor? Opposed? Thank you.
Approval of a contract with Capital Market Advisors.
Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Mike Boddy, second. Deborah? Thank you. Deborah Slinkowski. Any discussion on this? All in favor? Opposed? Thank you.
Approval of the appointment of bond counsel, Hawkins, Zellfield, and Wood.
Can I have a motion, please? Deborah Slinkowski, a second. Fred Teneri, all in favor? Opposed?
Appointment of the school safety team.
Can I have a motion, please? Deborah Slinkowski, can I have a second? Who was that, David? Thank you, David. All in favor? Opposed? Thank you.
Approval of ABA specialists, a change in their compensation.
Can I have a motion, please? John Siegel, can I have a second? Fred Teneri, any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 9-0, thank you.
Approval of late transportation requests for private and parochial schools.
Can I have a motion, please? John Siegel, can I have a second? Rob Scavo, any questions? All in favor? Opposed? Thank you.
Approval of the district cell phone list for the 2006-2007 school year as found in the enclosure.
Can I have a motion, please? Who is that? Douglas? Thank you, Douglas. Second? Fred Teneri? All in favor? Opposed? Thank you.
Approval of 2006-2007 proposed field trips.
Can I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Mike Boddy. Can I have a second? Fred Tenneri. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Approval of a donation from Town Bus We Transport.
Who's? Fred. Motion by Fred. Thank you. A second? Second? Rob, thank you. Are there any questions on it? John?
I have a question. Now, Town Bus Company, we just
put on
gave...
Your mic. Are you speaking into your mic?
Town Bus Company, we just gave a contract to, correct? They were a low bidder on one of our contracts. So I have some concern of the low bidder of one of our contracts giving a donation back to the school. I think, you know, that we shouldn't be taking gifts from low bidders. So,
Chris, is there anything... By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the gentleman sitting at the end of the table to my right is Chris Clayton. He's from Ingram & Smith, our law firm.
Just to clarify, we have a contract with Town Bus. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is it something that's been approved and active presently?
Yes. Bottom line is we want their money if there's nothing wrong with it.
I think your greater concern is an appearance of impropriety as opposed to any actual illegality.
Are you saying that's okay?
I'm saying that it's an issue that the board can consider as a political matter, but as a legal constraint.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that. I have something running behind me here, I guess a refrigerator. Are you saying that it's legal or not?
You know what? I'd like to take a look at it, Mike. If you wouldn't mind tabling it.
Table this for now?
Table it and let me take a look at it. I'll get back to you at the next meeting.
Take a look at it. Let's not do anything that's going to put us in harm's way.
Need a motion, right?
We need a motion to table this, please. Who is that? Douglas? And who seconded it?
Dave.
David. All in favor of tabling it until we can have a further look at this?
Bruce.
Bruce says if this is not legal, he's going to put up the $4,500 himself. He's got the MasterCard in his pocket.
It's a school.
I'm sorry, say that. Bruce, do you want to comment on this at all? You reviewed this with the auditors, didn't you?
And Marianne Sadowski, which Chris wasn't aware. Marianne Sadowski, who's another partner in the firm, we reviewed the board policy to ensure that there wasn't any conflict, legal conflict. A vendor, this, you know, I guess John's point, prior to the bid would have been improper, but after the bid, he was a low bidder, he was awarded a contract, they're just giving back money to the community. So it's real. The board policy states it's merely up to the Board of Education to accept this.
As long as that's been reviewed by someone in my office, Mike, that's fine. I hadn't reviewed it before the meeting tonight.
It's $4,500, you realize that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to untable this? Can we make a motion to untable it? David? As long as we know we're not going to get banged by the auditors and that it's not illegal. Can we put this on any higher behind me here? Wow. Is there a second to that? Rob, all in favor? We just untabled it. Now can I have a motion to accept it? David, can I have a second? Who was the second? Fred Tenneri, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? One. John Siegel. Two else is opposed. You're opposed? Mike Boddy and Deborah Slankowski are opposed. I'm in favor of it, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 3. Take the money and run. Next. We're on page 20, folks.
Approval of a resolution to reappoint emergency conditional appointments.
Can I have a motion, please? John Siegel, second. Deborah Slankowski, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, 9-0. Monthly reports, damage and loss summary. Anybody have any questions or anything on that? Board members, you got the reports. Determination for the Committee of Preschool Special Education. Any comments on any of that? Child care, community education, building usage, financial reports. Board of Education subcommittees. Did all of you get the flyer that was out, was sent out? It's also on the website, I believe, right? 2006-2007 Board of Education goals. Any comments on any of those? All right, let's get to the presentations. Security is number one. Dr. Murphy?
Yes. At one of the prior board meetings, we asked the board asked to have some a security update. We have Wayne Wilson and Jim Kalachek here from security here, and I think Bruce is going to support the presentation as well. Wayne?
You folks may want to, sitting on this end of the board to the left, you may want to swing around a little bit so you can see the screen. These are outside. These are outside, too, folks. For those of you sitting out in the audience, you should have, yeah, the...
Hi, I'm Wayne Wilson, Station Security Director. Tonight I'm here to discuss our deployment for the 2006-2007 school year. As you can see, our current budget for this year is $1.1 million. Our department is currently comprised of 54 New York State licensed security employees who come from a variety of backgrounds, including current and former police officers and firemen. As you can see, there has been a sharp decline in our manpower due to budgetary reductions. In order to provide a safe and secure environment for our students, staff, and community, we are constantly striving to stay current in a variety of areas, including first aid, CPR, AED training, as well as these other topics shown. Security is a 24/7 operation. As you know, SACHM is one of the largest suburban school districts in New York State. Our responsibilities include all of the following: night school, summer school, athletic events, field trips, proms, concerts, graduations, etc. In addition, one of our primary responsibilities is to coordinate district-wide procedures in emergency situations, such as bomb threats, lockdowns, and evacuations. We provide security for over 15,000 students and 18 secured schools, which is up from 16 schools in 2004 with fewer security employees. Currently, our operation is broken down in the following manner: daytime operations, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Night operations, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. Our midnight operations consists of 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., and our weekend coverage is one security base operator 24/7, two mobile units per shift 24/7, two watchmen from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. As you can see, this year we only have 8.5 security officers working at each high school, which is nearly half of what we had 4 years prior. At best, we have only six security officers in each high school, with two officers located on the exterior perimeters. In the event of a field trip, security officers are pulled from these locations. In the event of a personal or a sick day, There is no coverage for that empty post. For the 2005 and 06 school year, nearly 400 incidences have been reported in the secondary schools. As you can see, there are 75 drug alcohol-related incidences, 128 altercations, and 178 thefts. The increase of thefts may be due to a recent rash of pocketbook thefts in our district and within surrounding areas. There has been a consistent increase in the amount of loss and damages throughout our district. Loss and damages, for example, include the cost of repairing doors, broken windows, damages to playgrounds, and any other district property. In addition to our day-to-day operations, security presence is requested for the following events, such as football games, homecoming parades, field trips, summer school, and et cetera, as you can see. I would like to point out that the monies for security presence at these projected events and activities are not included in the 2006-2007 security budget. Some future considerations. I would like to conclude. In the event that additional monies are allotted to the security department, my goals include the following. I would like to upgrade our surveillance equipment and install night vision cameras. This would allow security to better observe the students and staff interactions, preserve the district's property, and maintain safe playgrounds and parking lots. We would like to purchase newer vehicles. Currently, we are working with vehicles that are in excess of 120,000 to 180,000 miles. Also, I would like to re-strengthen our department by hiring additional security officers and thus increasing security presence at all levels. Our goal is to provide the safest possible learning environment for students and staff and to maximize our effectiveness using the resources we are allocated. This would not only provide a safer learning environment for our SATM students and staff, but it would also allow for quicker response times in the event of an altercation or catastrophic emergencies. Ultimately, more security officers equates to a safer, more secure environment for one of the largest schools in New York State. Thank you for your time.
We're going to take some questions from the board. You can put the lights on, too. You know, I'd like to start out by asking, Danielle is one of our board members who is from one of the high schools. She's, you know, we have her and another young man who happens to be at a late game today. And Danielle, you're a student, so you deal with this every day. Do you have anything you want to say about this?
For the future considerations, I think above all, the increase in security presence would probably make the most difference. When it comes to students like getting into altercations, fights and stuff, I think that just having a security guard being there to just stand in the hallway, or it kind of deters students from starting like little fights that wouldn't have started, you know, if a security guard is there. So I think above all, security presence is definitely
Danielle,
needed an increase.
She's from North, right? In the East, really. Thank you, Daniela. Who else? Tony?
Yes, Danielle, I have to agree with you 100%. Of the goals, Wayne, and I see, although you put that third, in my opinion, that should be first, because looking at the increases for drug, alcohol, altercations, and thefts, drug, alcohol, and altercation seem to be your highest increase, 20, 30, 40%, where I think surveillance may be good, electronic, but there's nothing like somebody standing in the hall and they know who they are. So, again, I think you're doing a great job with what you have, but I certainly would move to the top of that list, increase presence, and have a body there. I think that would help you greatly. Also at the functions, extracurricular functions. You know, we know what happens at homecomings and hundreds, if not thousands, of kids presence is very important. So, again, I would stress, if anything, that should be one of your high priorities.
Douglas, you had a question, too.
Yeah, Wayne, I want to start by saying I think you and your guys do a great job. Going on board with what everyone else is saying, the increase in personnel, where are your biggest needs right now, you feel, increasing in personnel? Is it with our night operations? Is it during this getting more people in the schools? Where do you think, if we can get additional manpower, you would put them?
At this time, we feel that the day operations at Seacham North with 8.5, with two extra security guards at that location, as well as Seacham East, and maybe two roving guards at the night, so we could spread it out. We're not looking to get back to the original 16 that we had. We feel we can do this with 10.5 at the daytime operation.
With the, I'm looking at the stats here, the incident tracking data for the secondary schools. We went up in every category for 05, 06. A particular concern is the drugs and alcohol. Is there anything else that we can be doing, any more tools that we can give security to try to decrease these events that you can think of? Is there any? Is more personnel going to help reduce these incidents?
Yeah. Yes, I believe it will.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne.
Deborah, I believe you had a question.
Thanks, Wayne. Yeah, your people do a fantastic job on behalf of the district. And thank you very much for, you know, explaining to the board that, hey, I don't want the whole enchilada, but I would like at least 10.5. So, Dr. Murphy, if we could possibly get some information from Mr. Singer on what the cost would be.
Wayne, what is it? What is it? I know you have these figures already. How much one adding one guard to the high school level
costs? Approximately $23,000 for one security guard.
Over a school year?
Over a school year. That's not including the summertime.
And you want to add 2.5 to the current staff?
I would like to add 6 overall.
Oh, 6,
two
I'm
at
sorry.
North, 2 at Seacham East, and 2 roving patrols for our night operation.
Deborah, any other questions? Fred, I believe you had a question.
Again, Wayne, I think you guys are doing a great job. A lot of my questions have been answered already, but I would like to know what you're really looking for. You're talking about security guards. You're talking about a car or two. What are we talking about bottom line for what you are looking for right now? Do you have a number of figure for surveillance and everything that you're talking about?
No, I don't at this time. Okay. We'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay. If you can, that would be something that we can figure out where we're at and what we can afford.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions from any board members? Tony?
Yeah, Wayne, on the breakdown, the tracking, drugs and alcohol, a large increase. Do you have, and you don't, if you haven't got it tonight, that's fine. Do you have what type of things are happening? Are they sale? Are they possession? Are they what? You know, can you give us a better idea as to what this is? Are they possession? Are they sales? Or sale? Of course,
a little of everything.
All right. Is that broken down in your system, or do you have it?
No, it's not.
It's not. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
We get some of that in the superintendent. An example of just what happens at a large, and I was speaking with PTA council last night, at a large 2,000 student complex. I mean, many things happen. So when you have 8.5 guards and you have two outside, 6.5, people take breaks, they go to lunch and things like that. It's an enormous campus, north and east. The campus, they're incredible. And just yesterday, the incident that happened outside of Seacham East causes us then to send two guards over to two bus stops this afternoon because we're afraid of what's going to happen after this gang activity. And this, it was a huge altercation after school related to gangs. And then it's pulling two bodies away from Seacham East when they could be someplace else in the district because of just one incident. And now this week we've got to put extra guys on at Seacham East to make sure that these people who had an altercation off campus do not bring this on campus, because we have 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds who get involved in these outside fights. A couple of weeks ago, there was a first week of school, there was an There was one student at Sachem High School East who we had to tail throughout this school. He had just got back from a long-term suspension, and it wasn't long before he was back to his old tricks. And you have a security guard tailing him, two security guards at the end of the day, tailing him to make sure that he didn't harm himself or others. And that 6.5 is then brought down to 4.5 for the rest of the building, and that's just one person. This person is not in the school any longer, but it just speaks to what can happen in a 2,000-student school. And if you have 1% of your kids who are bad kids in a school like that, which is very small, it's still a lot of kids and more kids than the amount of security guards in a building. Thank you.
Does anyone else have any questions? John?
Wayne, I had a quick question for you. You have two mobile units during the day shift. Now, they're covering, what, 12 elementary schools and district office. Now, do you see a need to increase that?
Not at this time.
So that you feel it's sufficient coverage?
I do feel it's sufficient at this time, because at the junior highs, we do have one man per building, plus the high schools are manned with 8.5 security guards per each school. And at this time, I do feel it's sufficient. Yes.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I have a couple of things for you. First of all, is there any way we can have some sub-coverage, you know, in the event that folks get sick? And that's, you know, I mean, it's only natural. Winter's coming, flu season. Is there any way we can have a list of maybe four or five guys who would be interested in coming in, you know, on a per diem type of thing? Have you considered doing that?
It's something we've discussed. At this time, it's not something that we've actually...
Do you think there's a need for it?
I think it would be a great need for it, yes.
Would you look into it?
Yes.
Charlie, can we ask him to look into that? The other thing is, well, you know, I'll ask you this other question privately, but surveillance equipment. When you're talking about upgrading that, what do you have in mind?
At this time at Sachem North, for instance, for example, we have three different types of digital systems in place right now. We have a Sanyo digital system, a Cantel system, and an Everfocus system. We want to actually go to the Sanyo systems, which we feel is the most compatible for the whole school district. So at this time, we'd like to upgrade that system to all Sanyos.
And where are you going to do this, at North?
I'd say starting at the high schools, because we feel that
North
that's the
and
first
east?
Main priority.
What's at East right now?
East at this time is Sanyos.
Sanyos, so you just want to add more cameras?
So is North, yes, we would like to add more cameras in certain areas, like the going down to the stairwells, downstairs by the pool area. There's a lot of areas that I can give you, for instance.
Okay. Can you get us a list of what you need, what the costs are? I mean, I think that's, you know, and what I would do is I would, you know, make it a list of what you really need and, you know, put it together. And how about at the middle schools?
At the middle schools, we feel right now the exterior really can use night vision. And as you know, our exterior cameras right now are just not, they're not sufficient enough right now.
Okay. But make sure you put a list together, the locations, what the item is, and what the approximate cost is, because I'm sure we'd either have to bid it or buy it off a state contract or county contract or BOCES contract, whatever.
In the meantime, what we would like to do with the Everfocus system at Sachem North is move that down into the elementaries at this time so we can at least get best utilization out of our equipment for this time.
Is this equipment you're not using right now?
It is equipment that we are using, but we would like to upgrade our system at the high schools.
Okay. Do you have any money in your budget to do that at this point or no?
Not at this
time. This would be something we'd have to look at for the next school year. Okay. And then what you plan on doing is taking the equipment that we have in place and moving that down into the buildings.
Yes.
Okay.
I think the technology that Wayne's talking about, it sounds like big stuff, but the lack of security staff with this technology really helps out, because every room in the entire district has an alarm. So if somebody breaks a window here, you know, within a few minutes, somebody responds to it, where you don't really need to have so much patrolling done. You just need a patrol who can get there quick enough, and you have enough patrols, you can get there and stop these things. But some of the things that happen in Middle Country, some of the things that happen in Bootin in New Jersey with some, you know, great vandalism, they may not happen here. They may break the window. They may get into the school. But security responds quick enough to really prevent a lot of things, and we had a number of people caught this summer who were in our buildings, and they don't realize that they've tripped an alarm by the time security responds and the kids are caught. But that really prevents the big thing from happening, that the kids going around and vandalizing the rest of the school. They have about 5 minutes to do their damage, and after that, security's there.
Tony?
Yes, yeah, so really,
John,
this
then
is,
John, you'll
this is for maybe Dr. Murphy. This discussion we're having this evening, once these numbers come back from Wayne, is this a discussion for this present school year, or is something we're going to consider during the budget process for next school year?
This is just in general. We were updating the board based on some conversation we had a few weeks ago that they wanted some feedback about security because there were some concerns. That would be really a board decision, whether they want to add something back this year out of our plan balance or you want to talk about budget time. But next budget time, when I talked about budgeting last spring, that this was going to be a priority now that we've reduced class sizes and we've started to tackle some of our issues, is to bring back security where it should be. And really the big concern, I mean, Wayne will talk about mobile units, but the big concern is the 9-12 high schools and making sure that there is a presence there, because that's where the incidents happen in this school district.
So when we get the report back of these final costs, you will make a recommendation to the board as to where or when this is going to be implemented?
I mean, for sure we're going to add into the budget next year, but if the board chooses that they want to add a security guard, an extra security guard at each high school, you can do that now, or you can do that at any time during the school year.
Then maybe Mr. Pomaro, once these numbers are in, we could put this on an early future agenda item to discuss it for this present year?
Absolutely. John?
Question, Bruce. All the security equipment that Wayne's talking about, can we use some of the Excel Aid for this? Is that something that would be covered?
Yeah, that would be health and safety of the students is a qualified aid under the Excel Aid. But, again, the proposal wouldn't happen until a year from now or a year and a half from now.
But we wouldn't need to seek community approval to get this, correct?
We definitely need community approval. We need authorization of the community to buy this.
Okay.
You said it is aidable, correct?
Well, Excel Aid is dollar for dollar. Under one category, what we were planning to use is to use the Excel Aid as a debt service for a larger bond issue. So it would come under that $20 million, you know, one of the items that would be security items.
So that's something that the Capital Projects Committee would look at also.
Absolutely.
We could incorporate after the board looks at it and sees where, you know, if we want to add to it or whatever. Deborah, you had a question, and who else? Tony? Okay, Deborah first, then Tony.
I was wondering, is the surveillance equipment on our list of capital, you know, within the capital improvement list? Is
right,
it on there?
Right. Well, the budget supervisors, administrator, billing principals, they're submitting lists right now. Mike Bergen is coordinating it. So like Steve would put on school buses, and Wayne would put on security, and then once we get that list, that would go to the capital subcommittee.
Who else? Tony?
Yeah, this is for Bruce, really. John had mentioned Excel money. Just for argument's sake, if the board decides to use any of this Excel money for security, non-equipment, for staffing, can't be used for staffing.
No, that wasn't.
Okay, so it's only equipment we're talking about.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
One other question for me. Does anyone else have any other questions? I know you guys drive around in these junkers. You know, it's amazing that you get back and forth. We usually buy these at auction. Is that correct, Bruce?
The county stopped that. We bought it for $200, the sedans. But I guess 2 or 3 years ago, the county stopped that practice. So if we go to an auction, we would pay, you know, $8,000-$9,000, whatever the used car is worth. We wouldn't be able to get that deal anymore.
But we have to look into this, right? Do you know which? I think what we need to see too is a list of vehicles that you would need to replace, what the current vehicle is, what kind of mileage is on it, and, you know, the general state of it, and what needs to be replaced. Because if we, you know, this board is going to look at this seriously. This is one of our, goals. You know, is safety of our youngsters. And it's probably our primary, it is our primary goal that our kids, you know, people could send their kids to school and not have to worry about it. In this day and age, that's a major, major task. But we also are going to have to justify everything that we do and everything that adds to the tax dollars. So if you could tell us what you need, and again, you have to ask us what you need. You know, don't be afraid to say, hey, this is what we need to do the job, because in the long run, it's going to probably save us a lot of grief and a lot of money. So be practical, but also, you know, be forthright and say, hey, this is what we need to have to get the job done. If you could find out, Bruce, again, you know, I know this is just, if you could find out, about how much or, to purchase vehicles. We're not going to buy brand new ones, I'm sure, but, if you can get an idea of what it would cost us to replace these, and no one's going to hold you to the penny, but at least we'd have a ballpark figure to work with. Can anybody think of anything else? Rob, did you have anything you wanted to say?
I mean, I have to agree with a lot of what's being said here. I'm looking at these numbers here, and we're down 29 security guards from 2004-2005 year, and it's not getting any easier. I mean, we have an increased number of students, not particularly in our school, but in our area that are involved in gangs. And if anything, I mean, that number should certainly go up. And I don't think you really can skimp on security. A lot of the vandalism that's taking place in the district is occurring at night. Okay? And, we've had a lot of very costly vandalism over the last couple of months that maybe we wouldn't have been able to stop. But at least if we had some cameras that could videotape the cars coming into the property, we may have been able to get a plate number, which could have resulted in,
That's true, Rob. There was one incident last year at Sachem High School East where some vandals or graffiti, crazy glued a number of the locks around the perimeter of the building. He went to the camera, he went to the videotape, and you couldn't see anything.
No, they crazy glued the security cars as well, the locks in the cars as well.
Exactly. So those kids would have been caught.
Certain things I think we need to look at immediately as a preventative or a deterrent. Certainly I think we should look at, even before next year, maybe looking at increasing the staff. Because presence is important. And believe me, I see it. I see it every day. I see gang activity every single day where I work. So the thing is that you can never have too much security. So I have to agree with you.
Thank you, Rob. Douglas?
I'd just like to go along with what everyone else is saying. I'd like to see if we can do something for them this year, if we can maybe give a guard to Wayne in each of the high schools just to do something to try to offset what's going on now, and then address this in the budget for 07-08 as well.
Thank you. Any further discussions, gentlemen, questions, ladies? Thank you all very much. Gentlemen, thank you for your time and your help.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thanks. Next are new elementary report cards. Charlie?
I believe Jill Girosh and Pat Pontius, principal at Chippewa, and Chris DiPaolo, principal of Winona, are going to do a presentation on the new elementary report cards.
I think there are samples outside, right? Of this? Yes? These are outside. No?
There might be samples outside. We made a couple small revisions to it since the original one sent to all of you. So we just wanted to give you the most updated copies before they went to the printer. We do have some extras for anyone out in the public tonight.
If there's anyone out there who doesn't have one, doesn't have a copy, and would like to see one, we may have a couple extras. So just raise your hand. And
We put out one sample K through 12 outside. And if anyone wants the K through 2, we can always send copies to people's addresses.
If you could share them, that would help a lot, because I don't know how many we have. There's a couple of folks on this side that would like to see one also.
Okay. Just to give you an overview of the committee and how this whole project started. A committee was formed, and under the direction of Pat Pontius and Chris DiPaolo in the winter of 2006, they set forth to evaluate the old report cards and make changes to reflect the New York State standards and SACHM's curriculum goals for the K-2 students. Our goal was to communicate to parents SACHM's challenging expectations, describe what students should know and be able to do with these new documents. The report card should serve as the basis for curriculum in each content area, which is based on the relevant standards for that subject area, including all the special areas. You'll hopefully note the emphasis that was placed on the literacy and math objectives in this new report card. But ultimately, the outcome is for the parents to understand their child's strengths and for the teachers to identify areas in need of further support for the parents to help with both at home and the teachers to help with at school. But I just want to personally thank Chris DiPaolo and Pat Pontius for their work on this project. This took numerous meetings, a lot of digging deep into the New York State standards, taking a look at our curriculum for the K-2 students, and they really put a lot of time and thought into the process. And I'd also like to thank some of the committee members. We had representatives from each of the elementary schools on the committee, and some of them are here tonight, but I'd just like to recognize the names of those teachers that put forth the effort. From Cayuga, Lori Tremel, Chippewa, Barbara Kaiser, Gatelot, Marie O'Doherty, and if any of them are here tonight, when I call your name, if you could please stand. Grundy, Brianne Deegan, Hiawatha, Jessica Callahan, Linwood, Elizabeth O'Dwyer, Merrimack, Renee Richter, Nokomis, Adrian Spivak, Tamarack, Gina Shambart, Tecumseh, Jennifer Collins, Waverly, Kathy Giuliano, Winona, Bree Hipperling, and also the principal's aide for language arts, Joan Herman, and like I said, Chris DiPaolo and Pat Pontius. They really put together a very comprehensive report. At this point, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Ms. DiPaolo and Ms. Pontius.
Thank you, Mrs. Girosh. As Ms. Girosh mentioned, there were a number of factors that led up to the decision to revise the K-2 report card. Three of the primary ones were, as she said, the implementation of the state standards within our district, the initiation of full-day kindergarten, and our purchase of a new language arts series from Harcourt. The initiation of full-day kindergarten has had a subsequent effect on other grades, which is why the committee looked beyond grade K and up through the second grade. A few examples of concerns that were expressed by committee members and by parents. The current report cards were not considered parent-friendly, and they were too general. The report card did not evaluate enough academic information, especially for kindergarten. Our grading system did not support the state mandates of a rubric being used to evaluate performance. Our subcommittees performed on each of the three grade levels, and we spent a great deal of time gathering report cards from nearby school districts around the state and a few other states as well. Computerized report cards were also explored, but put aside for the moment due to the high cost and incompatibility with our current system. Our subcommittees gathered desirable attributes from the cards we reviewed. A few examples of those traits were the use of rubrics, the listing of specific skills, and a closer correlation between the items being evaluated and the New York State standards. Following this, the subcommittee looked closely at the standards and performance indicators and worked to align our report cards with them. Mr. Powell will address those shortly. Feedback was solicited by committee members from their schools. Parent members of the building leadership teams reviewed the report cards to ensure parental involvement and adjustments were made. A great deal of work went into this product. In addition to the people that Mrs. Girosh thanked, I'd also like to thank Mrs. Patty Cartegna, her secretary, who spent many, many hours revising our efforts. Mr. Powell.
Thank you, Mrs. Pontius. I am hoping that the board has in front of them the copies, and Ms. Garrosh has told me that you have the old report card as well as the new report card. So my challenge here now is to take you through some of the highlights of the new report card, I think in the best way possible to first review the old so that we could appreciate the new. The old report cards are in front of you, and if you open them, you will look at the indicators that were on there. There was a kindergarten report card, and then there was another report card for grades 1 and 2. We began with the question, what's wrong with the old report card? The old report card did embrace a developmental philosophy that looked at children's development in a very broad and general manner. So if you look at those report cards, you will see that they are very heavy on life skills and social development and very light, so to speak, on the academics. In the area of mathematics, on the kindergarten report card, the old one, there were three indicators. On the on the 1 and 2, there were 5 indicators. The only indications specifically about language arts and reading were the language arts performance levels, which then were elaborated in the back of the report card in a rubric that went through the various skills in those literacy levels. But by and large, that report card mirrored a child's individual progress on their own developmental line. It did not adequately convey where that child was in regard to meeting the expectations of the state and the grade level curriculum. Our report card that the committee worked on very diligently, and I have to say it was an honor to work with such an outstanding group of people. We learned so much, and they just worked their hearts out, produced a standards-based report card. So if you could look to, before I go on, one complaint over and over and over again from parents and from teachers were the marking, the rating system or the marking code, it's called on the report card. So, for instance, and it was consistently displayed, progressing and not evident, a child could get an N, a P, or a CD. So, for instance, one of my BLT parents said, you know, Mr. Powell, what I'd like to see in a new report card is if on the old report card my child gets a P and displays understanding of math concepts, I don't know as a parent which math concepts he's mastered, which he's still working towards understanding and mastering. So if there was some more specifics on that report card, I could work at home with my child. I would like that kind of information. And so that's what the new report card endeavors to do, to be very much a much more specific document for parents to work with and for teachers to work with. So if I could direct your attention now to the new report cards, and I'll just be referring, they're very similar in their format and in their layout, but I'll be just referencing the first grade report card kind of in the middle of both. There are some differences on the second grade report card. There are minor differences, and I will highlight those as well. As Ms. Pontius and Ms. Garrosh also alluded to, we are looking for a standards-based report card. Standards very clearly outline what students need to learn and what teachers need to teach. There are academic core standards that outline the content that students, what they need to know and be able to do. There are also performance standards, which basically answer the question, how good is good enough? This report card uses both that kind of standard information. The indicators on the report card in the areas of reading, listening, writing, speaking come from the New York State core curriculum in language arts. After the standards were put out in 1996, in May of 2005, the state elaborated on those standards and made a very specific guidance document. It incorporated an early literacy guidance document and went further to elaborate very specific key literacy competencies that children had to be able to master at each grade level. Those are laid out in a very thick document, and they go K through 12. This committee took that document, took, as Ms. Ponte said, some other report cards from other districts, but key was to lay out a plan, a roadmap, so that teachers could be sure that they were hitting all the key competencies that the state was saying we had to master at the end of each grade level. Why is this such a concern? It is a concern because No Child Left Behind suggests to us and mandates that we leave no child behind. The very specific nature of the report card will give information both to parents and teachers as to where we have to work harder, where we need to give children extra support, what more they need to do within in the classroom and at home to meet those standards. I'll bring you through some of the features of the report card. If you look at the top, you'll start out after, the label and attendance information, there is a rubric. The rubric is modeled after the rubric that the state assessments use. It's on a 1 through 4 rating system, 1 being below the standards, 4 exceeding the standards. There are very specific criteria, and a rubric is valuable in that it lays out a number of criteria for scoring and evaluating a student, not just based on one numerical piece of information. If you look through those, just briefly, if we go through below the number 1 would be below standards at the quarter. The child is not yet meeting the expectations for the age or the grade level. Seldom meets the requirements for quality work. Requires more exposure and modeling to develop knowledge and understanding. Requires an extended amount of time, instruction, assistance, and practice. As opposed, on the other end of the spectrum, the student exceeding standards is exceeding, of course, the standards and the expectations for the grade level, is exhibiting exceptional work, and so on. Is demonstrating creativity, is applying his knowledge to other areas, et cetera. If we move down to, and I'll take this out of order of the handout that I gave you, I think we'll look at reading text level next. This is a very important piece of information that both teachers and administrators felt should be on the report card. The reading text level is reported quarterly, and it is the instructional text level for the student. The instructional text level is the text level at which the student can read the book with 90 to 95% accuracy. The text level is determined by the teacher by doing running records or quick checks where they sample a passage and determine the number of errors. It's important to be at the right text level for instruction so that students are not struggling with the decoding of the text so the teacher can go on and use that book, the right leveled book, in a guided reading lesson to then give a lesson that might introduce other types of strategies or skills like story elements or skills like making predictions or being able to retell a story. Next to the reading text level, you have the language arts performance levels. They're in a check-off fashion now as opposed to the old report card where they were written in. The text levels are the SACHM literacy levels. They describe the stages of development in a student's progress in reading, writing, listening, and speaking. They are very specific behaviors. They are descriptions of the strategies and the skills that children demonstrate at those stages of reading and writing. And they are indicated on the envelope, a global description of those literacy levels have been printed on the envelope that you have in front of you that the report cards will go into. A range of reading text levels are associated with each literacy level, and that is also indicated on that envelope. The teacher's decision to move a student from one literacy level to the next is based on a variety of things, including the reading text level, also on the performance indicators for the literacy level and the benchmark assessments. If you move down, and we'll take a look at a brief look at just the reading and listening, you will see that the very specific skills are listed under subheadings, phonemic awareness, print awareness, phonics, reading strategies, fluency, comprehension. Those subheadings appear in the core curriculum document. They also are the pillars of good instruction as were identified by the National Reading Panel in the Reading First Initiative. Those methods of those features of instruction being seen as very sound practice for the development of children's reading abilities. The reading, listening, writing, speaking, all are part of the standard for English language arts. On your report cards, that should be followed. I don't have the updated one, but if they're mathematics, is that the so? Okay, that we went on to spelling, handwriting, and social studies. Again, teachers met, looked at our curriculum, and outlined the key skills that they felt that children needed to master in those areas. Moving on to the area of mathematics, the mathematics skills and objectives do reflect the SACHM K through 5 mathematics curriculum. Special area subjects follow in physical education, library, art, and music. Those indicate broad-based skills needed to be successful in the content of that curriculum in those particular areas. They are not rated on the rubric scoring. They are rated on a continuum from unsatisfactory to excellent. The social skills and the work habits on the back of the report card, which were so predominant a feature of the old report card, still are absolutely essential and important in that they facilitate success in being able to benefit from instruction and to be an active and positive participant in the school environment. Those are coded and rated according to that social skills work habit codes, again, from excellent to unsatisfactory. The difference, the only difference in the rating scales on the second grade report card, the teachers on the committee felt it was very important to be able to provide a transition to the third grade report cards, which uses achievement grades, letter grades as we know them. So in the areas of mathematics and in spelling, there is an achievement code on the second grade report card that does reflect the letter grades together with the numerical equivalents or the averages that equal those letter grades. So in summary, we looked for this report card to solve a number of problems and to give us a certain number of advantages in terms of communication to parents. It needed to be student, teacher, and parent-friendly. The feedback that we've gotten from parents on our BLTs and in our and teachers in our buildings has been very good in that they feel that it is a very manageable and meaningful report card. The attempt was to match the state standards and the district curriculum to the indicators on this report card. The report cards are individualized by grade level and reflect those skills specific to those grade levels that are needed for mastery. The rubric descriptions provide the most detailed information to parents and students. And it's our hope that in using these this report card, communication between school, parents, and teachers will be facilitated, and communication even among teachers will be increased and facilitated as they look to match their instruction and assessment to the indicators on this report card. And I guess first and foremost, we were hoping that this would be a roadmap that would guide instruction, guide parents, guide students to the ultimate goal of achieving success in SACHM and earning that Regents diploma in 12th grade. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Questions? Tony?
Yes. Well, I don't know where to start, but this is a big difference. I'll start with that. And just some questions. It's been a long time since I've had any elementary kids come home. But I see, and you mentioned it, Chris, regarding the different ratings in different areas. In the I'm using the second grade one now. On the left side, inside, you show a performance level 1 through 4. I'm assuming that's used for the ones underneath that, correct?
That's right.
Reading and listening, comprehension, also writing, speaking, science, health, social studies, they use the 1 through 4 rubric for achievement?
That's correct.
Okay. We go to mathematics, and then they change to a through a letter, okay?
Yes,
then you jump down to special areas. Again, it's four different ones. And then on the back page, again, it's four. Now, the question is it confusing? And I'm asking this as a non-teacher, and you would know better. Having four different marking areas for all of these. But you have I counted briefly, close to 100 categories that they have to be marked per quarter, per child. Average class, 20, 22 children, that's an enormous job to do. What reaction from the teacher? I know you've had teachers on the committee, but what reaction from the teachers did you get when they saw this?
Well, Mr. Falco, in the past, when we read report card comments, they were usually done in a number 6 font. Okay. That was so the teacher could fit in all the specifics that are now to be indicated by a rating scale.
Okay.
So although there are a lot of subheadings and there are a lot of skills to be rated, they're the vital information that those teachers would have been doing a narrative on in the back.
Okay. So what they would have written in a comment area, now they have a category to check individually. So they've been doing this all along. It just makes it easier to understand as a parent.
That's right.
Okay. I think it's a great job. I'm assuming, and I asked Dr. Murphy this, if the board approves this will be implemented this quarter?
Yeah, it will begin, yes, in November.
Okay, November. Okay, thank you very much.
John?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Christine, Pat, and Jill for this. As a parent of a elementary school student, I think this is a wonderful change. It's going to give the parents so many more categories to actually see where their children are succeeding or lacking and help to improve that. So I just want to say thank you, and I look forward to seeing these.
Any other questions or comments? Deborah?
I, too, would like to thank you for putting a great deal of thought into, you know, what the community members or the parents would like to see, and also facilitate the grading of report cards for our teachers. The only question is I'm a little overwhelmed and very much like Tony, my children are all in high school now and in college, and so it's been quite some time since I've looked at an elementary report card. However, there is a great deal of information here. Now, you did have some parents on the committee that helped you. Oh, no?
They were not on the committee. This was distributed at the BLTs to be shared with the parents through that, and then the feedback from those 12 different BLT committees came back to the committee, and revisions were made from there.
Was the final product reviewed by parents? And what was the, you know, overall consensus?
It was reviewed by all of the 12 elementary schools, and we've only received positive feedback in that it's so comprehensive and it gives more details. And as Ms. DiPaolo pointed out, they know exactly the areas of strength and the areas that they need to support at home. So in that area, parents have been very receptive to that. This will be a more time-consuming process for the teachers in the beginning as they become familiar with the document and start to work through it. There were only a couple people on the committee from each school, but as we work through it and by the time we get to the third quarter, we hope that, you know, that it becomes that much easier for them.
Will all of these categories be, marked? Are there some that will not be assessed? How many are? I mean, I guess you do certain things in certain quarters. So
exactly.
There'll be a lot of X's in these categories?
Or? I wouldn't necessarily say a lot, but yes, you're absolutely right. There will be areas that are not assessed at the beginning of the school year for the grade levels. And that's really to be expected if you look at the curriculum overall for that particular grade. If I could just add a comment to what we were saying previously, as I mentioned earlier, several people contributed a number of report cards from different school districts.
And the information that they brought back to the committee, having spoken with people from those school districts, teachers from those school districts, that the similar type of report card was very well received. It did involve an adjustment period. It took time for the teachers to adjust, and it took time for the teachers to be able to explain this to parents as parents had questions. But the feedback from those teachers who had been working with it was positive. They were able to convey a lot more information to parents in a very efficient manner.
Because I can see it now, all those phone calls. You'd be inundated with all those phone calls from the parents, you know, trying to understand such a comprehensive document. But personally, I think it's outstanding. I think it did a great job, and I'm willing to give it a roll.
Tony, you had another question?
Yeah, it's just one thing, and Deborah brought up a good point. I mean, as a parent, they'll be getting this card, and there will be either X's or blank spaces. I'm sure you'll be getting loads of questions. The parents will be questioning, why has that not been checked? I mean, will there be some notification on the report card to say, you know, that hasn't been gone over yet? Or because, you know, I'm sure if you get a few of these boxes that are not checked off, you may get a question from the parent, why hasn't that been checked off? But has that been thought of?
Well, in the first quarter, most parents meet with the teacher at the parent conference time just prior to the report cards being distributed so that conversation can take place. And also, as it says, not assessed at this time. I mean, I think once they become familiar with this, I mean, it'll start this year, but then as we move down and they get it in first grade and second grade, they'll realize that some of those skills don't need to be mastered. But by the end of the fourth quarter, all of those things, there shouldn't be any X's in those areas because this is appropriate for each grade level and what needs to be mastered at that grade level by the end of that year.
Good. Thank you very much.
Ladies, I have a couple of things, so may I? First of all, teacher training. I'm assuming we're going to sit down with our staffs, the principals will, and go over these report cards in detail. I don't know how you're going to, I'm sure you'll do it by grade level and so on, so they have a firm understanding, because if they're asked a question, it's going to be good if they know the answers to it. I'm sure you guys have already planned that. The other thing, too, is there plans for parent meetings, you know, as part of PTA meetings or something, or some kind of presentations to parents before these get home, the first marking period, where you would, you know, have some kind of a meeting where you'd say, hey, folks, and I don't know how you would do it, if you would do it in, you know, by primary grades and then your middle grades, and then just sit down with them and review it, because when you really look at it, it's at first glance, it's imposing. You know, it really is because it's a lot, and especially when you look at last year's. But I think if a parent see it first, have some idea of what it's about, and you know, when you really take the time to look at it, and the way you ladies explained it to us, you know, it really does make sense. It's the right way to go. I mean, you did a wonderful. The whole committee did a great job with this, and. But I really think it would behoove you to sit with these folks and speak to them about it, you know. So, I you know, you're not going to get everybody there, that's for sure. But, you know, I think we should offer that to folks. An explanation of the terminology. I like this on the back of the, you know, the report card. I'm assuming that this is going to be the standard. And so it does do a lot of explanation. But there's going to be questions. And, you know, there are just some things that folks are not going to understand or know. So I think if you can sit down with parents ahead of time, I think in the long run, it'll save everyone a lot of grief. And, you know, and I think if the teachers can reach some kind of a comfort level with this also, it would be, you know, it's change, you know. And I'm a firm believer that the purpose of education is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable, and this will certainly do that. But I think what you need to do, though, is I'm hoping that that's, well, you know, as part of the development of this, that's your plans.
The conversations already started to take place at our recent open houses, so the parents were aware that there were going to be changes in the report card pending your approval of the documents. So that was the first stage. Principals have already started meeting with their K-2 teachers and just having the, articulating the changes and really going over the standards for each of them. And then this is something that we'll recommend to the principals to share at PTA meetings and have further conversations.
My first look at this, Jill, you know, I was thinking of my granddaughter, my kid, you know, who's in kindergarten, who, by the way, I know is gifted already, but that's another story. You know, when I looked at this, my first instinct was, wow, you know, there's so much here. And really, on a kindergarten report card, there's going to be a lot of blank spaces, as Tony brought up and Deborah brought up also. There are going to be, you know, the first quarter, there's going to probably be a number of areas. And people should not be alarmed. You know, you should tell them, especially new, you know, parents this is their first youngster in school, and the youngster comes back with this report card, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of blanks, and you go, oh, my Lord, look at this, you know. I really think the parent meetings are essential, and hope, you know, I'm not telling you what to do or how to run your building, but it's just a suggestion. But I think you guys did a wonderful job with this, and I really, on behalf of the board, I thank you for all your hard work. I know this is not an easy task. I've sat through a few of these revisions, and this is really the best, I think, that I've seen. But I think once people understand the philosophy of it, and they really have a basic understanding of what you're trying to do with this, I think they're going to be fine with it. But I would hate to send this home, you know, without having sat or given parents at least the opportunity to come in and look it over. Charlie, I know you had a couple of comments you'd like to make.
No, I can't remember if Pat was part of the original the committee that a couple of years back, about 97, 98. Were you part of that, or you were in the audience? I think we were in the audience at the time, and somebody else was presenting the old report card. And there was a contentious debate going on. I think it lasted three or four board meetings based on the elementary report cards. It was unbelievable. Because I think at that time, no one really understood what the old report cards said. And having Chris, Jill, and Pat, myself, have worked with those old report cards, you'd read these things over every quarter and say, well, what is this really saying? And I think parents ended up not getting a good idea or a good handle on what their children were learning, because it seemed that everyone was the same. Kindergarten, first and second grade, and all of a sudden in third grade, there was such a wake-up call when the different grading system kicked in that parents were surprised, shocked, dismayed over what happened to their child in the last couple of years. I think this is a great tool to report to the parents, because it's going to be honest and candid with them about their child's progress, and I think that's what needed. And, you know, for Chris, Pat, and Jill, I think they did a fantastic job, and they should be commended on it. It's outstanding. Great job, ladies.
Again, thank you on behalf of the board. Does anyone else have a comment before I let these ladies go? They have early mornings, and they got a lot of babies waiting for them in the morning. So, Chris, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Any ladies on the committee?
I need OT. I just also want to extend really heartfelt thanks from Pat and myself to Joan Herman and Bree Hippling, who I know are in the audience tonight, who really did do a wonderful job of lending guidance and leadership to the committee. So I want to thank them as well.
Terrific. Thank you. Joan is right there. Okay, I want to take a leaning from the board while these ladies are here. Are you folks okay with going along with this report card? John, let's start out with you. Yes? Douglas? Tony? I'm fine with it. Yes? 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 Daniela? I got your name right, huh? I called you Danielle, but that's all right. I forgot Rob's name last week. I'm getting old. I called Dave by the wrong last name for about 3 weeks, so three meetings. Sooner or later, I'll get it right. But everyone is fine with this. Ladies, proceed. Thank you very much. And, again, please thank everyone on the committee for all their hard work. This is a tremendous, tremendous job. And I think it's going to go a long way in letting folks know where their youngsters are. And hopefully it'll be a great tool for teachers to evaluate their youngsters as they move along in the grade levels. That's the end of our presentations, right? We now have visitors. Is there anyone who would like to speak? Nobody? Sal went home? Okay. Board of it. How about future agenda items? Tony, we're definitely going to do the security thing once we get the list, right? That's the future agenda item. You want it? Okay, absolutely. Anyone else can think of anything? Our next meeting is October 12th. It's right here, same time, same place. And then, what's that?
I was going to say the
Oh, wait, Daniela, do you have anything you want to add?
No high school issues?
Anything we should know about?
Okay.
It's too early. They want more security, though, is that correct? Okay. Thank you again. Thanks for being here. Can I have a motion to go into executive session so we can discuss litigation matters? And Doug Duncan and who else? John Siegel, all in favor? Thank you. Thank you all for being here tonight, folks. Library. Carol, before you leave, I'll give you these papers.
Can you put that on 10 in the morning?